It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's up, fight fans? What's up, combat sports community? What's up, MMA Twitter? What's up, boxing Twitter? I don't know if boxing has that hashtag, the hashtag boxing Twitter, but we will find out with today's guest co-host, Francisco Guzman of Boxeo Mundial and MMA Mundial. I met this gentleman over the years at several local events, Brooklyn, Jersey, and whenever we're under the same hood, the same roof, the conversation always flows. The most recent event was UFC 288. Jersey, he had Cejudo. Of course, I had Sterling. Regardless of who Sterling was fighting, I was taking Sterling, had to support the Long Island guy. But Mr. Guzman was not too far off as he predicted Cejudo to win. You know, it was very, very close. I saw the fifth round probably going Cejudo's way with that final treetop and takedown. It was fantastic. We will get into all the night's festivity, UFC 288. The John Jones, Francis Ngannou drama, news, notes, and of course, this week's actual fight that's actually happened. Vasily Lomachenko versus Devin Haney this Saturday. I believe it's free on ESPN or ESPN Plus, but we'll get to that and more. But first and foremost, my main man, Francisco. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. What's going on? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing better now that we're talking again, man. It's like anytime we connect, whether it's in person or on the phone or now Twitter Live, everything seems to, you're very easy to talk to. Is that with every part of your life, with whether it's the ladies or family members or friends? Like, are you always the talking head and everybody's like, shut up, Francisco?
Well, you have to to be social, right? You have to have some social skills. Come on.
I agree. Rumor is, I heard that social skills took a huge step back over the pandemic. I've spoken with a few teachers, and they said the same kids that they saw going into the pandemic were completely different post-pandemic, and like they were even more awkward. I think maybe that is the Zooms and the constantly staring at the phones. I'm lucky enough that the iPhone came out 1 year after I graduated high school. I mean, maybe I could have used it to pass more tests, but I feel fortunate enough that I saw those weird phones with cords attached to the walls. You know what I mean?
Yeah, LAN, lands.
What the hell is that?
Landline.
Oh, man. What's been the biggest change in the landscape of for you technologically? Is it the video games, cell phones? Is it the Zooms? Like, what for you has been the most exciting leap in technology?
Well, I would say that after we had this whole scare with COVID, everything just pretty much went online. It was like a swarm. Everything kind of went up. Of course, Netflix stock went up, you know that. And everybody was binge watching stuff and taking their business online, which they didn't do before. So it kind of changed how we do business in a way.
I agree.
It's kind of crazy.
If you invested in Netflix or Amazon or Zoom, I hope you're doing really well. It's like Amazon, I have no actual information on this, just the eye test. It used to be trucks a couple of years ago. Now it's like people in like their own cars that are driving up with packages, and my dog's about to like rip somebody's neck out, and they're just delivering diapers. And I was like, oh, maybe they're like overworked or something. I'm sure Amazon is just flourishing.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, we got AI coming on the horizon, so it's going to be an interesting another 10, 20 years coming through, for real.
I know, right? There's going to be droids or drones, whatever it's called, like dropping off packages in our front yard, and we're going to be shooting them down with BB guns. But, yeah, man, you are on the rise, like technology with boxing. I believe that Fury, Wilder really kicked off. Now, I'm a casual fan. I will admit that. I'm becoming more and more in depth with boxing, really falling in love with it. I will never admit to be a boxing expert. I lean on people like yourself or Dan Canobios or Brian Campbell's. I do respect that Luke Thomas has taken the time to learn the sweet science. I do respect that. I'm trying to steal that from his playbook and learn more and more. But for me, Fury and Wilder post Floyd Mayweather really got me involved with boxing. When did you start covering the sweet science?
Woo, you don't want to go there. Well, I got involved with the sport when I was a kid, you know, watching the late Muhammad Ali, Duran's. I mean, if I start naming names, you're not going to know who I'm talking about. That's how far back I go.
With the Roberto Duran.
I know you know who Duran is, but you know, guys like, let's say, Livingstone Bramble, guys like, of course, you know, Camacho, right? He goes back when I was a kid. Hector Camacho?
I just saw his fight the first time. Where he's dancing? I believe it's an outdoor arena fight, and he's like dancing. Yeah. He even runs in front of the camera when the camera's on his opponent. Is that him?
You know, you got guys like Bobby Chacon, Alexis Arguello, you know, George Foreman, of course. Who else can I? Cornelius Bundridge. Meldrick Taylor, Buddy McGirt. If I keep naming those names, you're gonna, yeah. That's how far back I go. My first boxing coverage was Arturo Gatti and Giancarlo Bronco, which is, I don't even remember what year that was, but it was 2000 something, early 2000s.
Wow. What for you? Two-part question. What for you was your favorite live event to cover? And you mentioned George Foreman. There's a movie coming out. I'm sorry if it already came out and I missed it. What for you is your favorite boxing movie? So favorite live event that you've covered or favorite fight, and then favorite boxing movie.
Favorite boxing events have been a lot. I've been to Canelo's fights. I've been to Cotto's.
I saw you interview Floyd's. Canelo recently. That's
Yeah. So I think one of the liveliest fights I've been to that was like electric was when Cotto fought Zab Judah. I mean, at the Garden. That was insane. That fight was insane. Another fight was Trinidad versus Joppy. I forgot Joppy's first name, but he knocked. I mean, that was, you know, just to watch Trinidad just destroy this guy from moving up to middleweight was crazy. So yeah, that was actually those two fights right there, both being Puerto Rican, of course, but they were, you know, when you watch a fight, I can see why Arturo Gatti was famous, you know, because Gatti was famous for bringing that, you know, even though win or lose, this guy was going to fight to the death. And that's what people love to see, you know?
And yeah, man, Arturo Gatti, I believe I saw
the late Arturo Gatti, of course.
The late Arturo Gatti got rest his soul. I saw the crazy fight between him and Ward, which everybody knows. If you're a fight fan, you got to know that fight.
By the way, I have an ex-girlfriend whose father gave Mickey Ward his first loss.
What?
Yes, his name is Edwin Villaret.
Okay, so I'm sure you made sure to return his daughter back on time every night.
Actually, I didn't find out till after, you know, we still remain friends, and she told me who her father was. He actually didn't raise her. She found out it was kind of sort of like her mother never really told her that who her father really was. She found out years later, and then she told me his name. I looked him up, and he had fought Buddy McGirt. He had fought Aaron Davis. He had fought a lot of big names, even though he didn't win. But he did beat Mickey Ward. So he gave him his first loss. And Mickey Ward, I think, had over 13 losses or something like that.
I think the next step is to interview this man.
Gatti.
I would love to hear you guys chat it up.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he was surprised that I knew about him once we started talking. So he was like, and we just started going on. His daughter was like, she didn't even know. She didn't even know anything. You know?
She was probably like, wow, you've talked to my dad more than I have.
I'm telling her. She was like, should I just give you the phone?
Amazing. And favorite boxing movie?
When we were kings, with Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman, it wasn't really a movie. It was more of a documentary, but that documentary was, I mean, I watch it over and over again. One of the best movies, I would gotta say, Scorsese with Raging Bull.
Yeah, that was dark. I actually just seen that, that's
a classic right there. Yeah. Plus, Jake LaMotta did fight someone that was a childhood. Well, a friend of my father's, his dad fought for Jake LaMotta. His name is actually in the movie. So yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So I met some people that had, you know, been in the fight game in the 50s and 60s. It was kind of interesting, you know.
Is this fellow who's mentioned in the movie, is he Puerto Rican as well?
Yes, he's Puerto Rican.
So this leads me to my next question. Who is the most prominent Puerto Rican fighter actively? Is it Pedraza? I know he fought Loma a couple of years ago. Who's holding it down for PR?
Whew. There's not – I mean, the last person to hold it down for PR was Miguel Cotto. Okay. You know, Cotto was, I think, the last great fighter out of Puerto Rico. Right now, we have a few prospects. We got a kid named Zayas, Zander, I believe his name is, and he's a, you know, upcoming prospect. Unfortunately, we had Pritchard Colon, who was also a rising prospect, but he got injured in a fight. And now he's, you know, he caught a real severe brain damage that kind of left him, he can't fight anymore. You know, the brain damage is so severe that he has to be taken care of. But he was a rising superstar. There's a few names out there, I don't really see anybody yet that we could say is like in the Miguel Cotto status. Yeah.
Again, we're being joined by Francisco Guzman, Boxeo Mundial, MMA Mundial. We haven't even gotten to any of the topics that I have laid out, but again, just conversational is amazing. Again, I didn't have this scripted, but we saw Mexico has made a nice, smooth transition. They're still holding it down with boxing in terms of elite boxers, but now we've seen Mexican champions in the mixed martial arts world, Yair with the interim, Brandon Moreno, Alexa Grasso, Irene Aldana has a chance coming up in a few weeks against Amanda Nunes. That's going to be a surefire fight. I'm sure Aldana got that Mexican gas tank. You better hope that Nunes is prepared to go the distance and push the gas throughout the whole 25 minutes. How come Puerto Rico, we haven't seen a UFC fighter in the top 10? I know Jimmy Rivera is Puerto Rican, but American-born.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Come on. I love Jimmy. Tiger Schulman's. But how come there's no guy from or girl from, originally from PR? I don't know if this is true, but at the Miami UFC 287 post-fight press conference, a reporter, I believe from the PR, was asking Dana, are you breaking ground in PR for a performance institute? And he says yes. I think that would obviously just make prospects turn into pros turn into ranked fighters and so on. But why is it taking so long for PR to crack the ranks in the MMA world?
It's you know, Puerto Rico used to be, besides Mexicans, Puerto Rico was, as far as Latin America, was one of the countries that was producing. Well, Puerto Rico is not a country, it's part of the United States, right? But it was one of those islands that were producing great fighters, you know, despite being a small island. It's only, 3 million in population, right? But they produced great fighters throughout the years. Sixto Escobar was actually the first world champion out of Puerto Rico. I don't know what year that was, but it was in the, I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, he's the first world champion out of Puerto Rico. And since then, there's been a string of them, right? So it's just, even in boxing, it's kind of shown that it's dwindled throughout the years. Maybe like sports like baseball has pretty much taken over a little bit, you know, so we don't see fighters, the amount of fighters as we did in the past. Maybe that's why we don't see it in mixed martial arts. We have them sprinkled here and there, like Jimmy Rivera, we were just talking about. Actually, Jimmy was a very good fighter. You know, he had some great significant wins. I thought he should have got a shot here and there because he had a string of fights before he actually started to diminish a bit, you know. But how mixed martial arts is, you know that. But he was one of those guys that, you know, I could point to when we say Puerto Rican fighter in mixed martial arts, in the UFC, actually.
I agree, man. When him and Aljamain Sterling fought, who we're about to get to, that was a highly close fight for cracking through maybe top 7, top 10 at the time. And then, look, Aljo's going on to defend the belt multiple times, and it's been the opposite for Jimmy. But Shane Burgos holding it down for PR. He's killing it.
Shane Burgos, yes.
He's killing it in the PFL now. Well, as soon as he gets back from health, hopefully a speedy recovery for Shane Burgos, and we get to see him under the PFL. I was going to quickly, what were your thoughts on 288? As soon as I'm talking about PFL, Francis Sagano is starting to run through my mind, but what were your thoughts on the live event? Recap, and I think the best show that happened was behind the scenes in the VIP with tuna tartare and some like chicken ball taco things that we were devouring while conversating. And folks, if you don't know Francisco Guzman, he doesn't only just talk the talk, he walks the walk, has some beautiful technique and tips. He boxed in his day, and I respect it. So when he talks about combat sports, you should listen. So what were your thoughts about 288 as a whole?
Well, the main event was a hot topic. Of course, we had you know, Sean O'Malley there, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, stepping into the cage, you know, but that main event was one of those fights where you know, who I picked prior to the fight. I actually walked away thinking that Aljamain edged it. But I will say, after looking at the fight again, looking at the scorecards, I could see where Cejudo has an argument, because Cejudo won that fifth round and only two judges gave it to him. Okay. And that's why he lost. If all three judges would have gave him that fifth round, he would have won the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty scary, man. Somebody who was sitting next to me, I don't know if he worked for verdict.com, the people who do like the live judging or fan judging or something, but he was like, oh yeah, Aljo's got this in the bag. I was like, did you just see Henry Cejudo take him down? Like, I was like, usually the old school scoring is they do those take down to seal the victory. I was like, oh snap, he just won.
Exactly. I like I said, I thought winning that fifth round, he might have stole the fight somehow. It was a very close fight. And think about it. A guy who was away for 3 years, what is it, 35, 36 years old,
yep.
Considered old in MMA. And he comes back after 3 years and he fights the champion and does this. Imagine if he had some time, a tune-up, at least one fight before actually fighting Aljamain, what the outcome probably would have been, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what boxing would have done. I think people are going to forget about the Otto Wallin or the other guy that Tyson Fury fought in between the Wilder fights. Like, I'm getting used to that. They book in fights. They book the rematch of Wilder Fury before Fury right. even fought his the opponent before Wilder, Schwartz. It was Schwartz, and I was like, are you kidding me? And then I'm learning that this is a boxing thing, and I'm watching the Garcia tank fight, the Davis fight, with somebody. They're an MMA fan, but they're watching this, and I go, they'll rematch, but they're each gonna fight three people in between.
Right.
What's the reason for that?
Well, I think what happened with Wilder was Wilder fought to a draw, remember?
Right.
And then, of course, he actually took another fight between that fight, which he nearly lost. Remember, he got an ugly cut in that fight that almost could have cost him. He could have cost him the fight, you know. But he got through that fight, and then he got the Wilder fight again, you know. But you know how it is. Sometimes a guy who's that, who fights a close fight just like that, they see him as a threat. So, you know, they figured, you know, make him wait a little bit before we fight him again. And I just think that Wilder probably didn't have another opponent. Think they were figuring they would beat him this time. They would knock him out, and they were wrong. not only did Wilder get knocked out, which was unexpected, but he Fury fought a different fight this time around. He did not box, he did not move like he did in the first one. He just came at him and punished him and then, you know, knocked him out. So it was totally a different fight, totally a different Fury. And actually I think made Fury better. You know, he had changed trainers. He was training with Emmanuel Stewart's nephew. They call him Sugar Hill. His nickname is Sugar Hill. And he just went in there and annihilated Wilder, you know. Not only beat him once, beat him twice. Even though that second fight, he got dropped. So, yeah.
What's next for each guy in your prognostication?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of fights that are not being made. I thought... Okay, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. We're doing the cool solo layout. Continue. you miss me? I'm back.
Sorry. I just saw myself and said, yo, what happened? yeah, I got scared. I was like, oh, no, I'm by myself.
Okay,
here.
It's going to be you in 3, 2, 1. So what are your thoughts on Fury Wilder? What's next for each?
What's next for each? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of fights that are not being made. Fury was supposed to fight. There was supposedly a signed fight between him and Andy Ruiz. That is called off. That didn't happen. Now we have there's talks of Wilder, Anthony Joshua, I think sometime in November at the end of the year. But that's not signed, sealed, and delivered. So we're waiting. We're waiting to see who these guys are going to fight next. I thought Fury was going to end up fighting Usyk, but then he called that off, saying that these guys were taking too long. So I don't know. I really don't know what's going on, man. I'm tired of the rhetoric. I think these fights should just happen. It's what the sport needs. And that's pretty much it.
It's true. And what the sport needs for MMA is for John Jones versus Francis Ngannou to happen. There's been a lot of talk. I'm learning that they're treating that fight like a boxing fight. It literally has taken a long time to promote, tweeting, hearsay back and forth, press conferences. Everybody's got their own YouTube channel putting on. You get a little snippet, maybe if there's an event and there's a big mic that they can jump on. But it is really taken a long time for it to water and then eventually grow. I think it's a good sign that Francis Ngannou has not signed with one. Hasn't signed with Bellator, hasn't signed with Top Rank. He is under kind of the same umbrella with the UFC now, with PFL. I understand they have the same broadcast rights. I'm sure there's some type of connection going on there with Disney. I know the UFC's got about 2 years left on their broadcast deal. I think if this fight happens 2 months before the broadcast deal with the UFC expires, they're going to promote this is going to be one of those, like, bring to the negotiation tables type of fights, that this could pass the 2.4 million that Khabib Conor did, especially where it's building. Not many people know Ngannou. No insult, Francis. Chocolat bleu, I'm sorry, my brother, but you are a calm killer, and that doesn't necessarily sell to the casual fan. When they see your highlight reel, they will sell. And how do they see your highlight reel? John Jones talks about you. Dana White talks about you. You're now on ESPN commercials because of the PFL. So I just think just more time, more highlights, more knockouts, I think we'll get this fight to happen. What are your thoughts overall on this fight? And maybe we could get into details.
I think that what the PFL needs to do is what the UFC failed to do, which is promote Francis Ngannou. I mean, you know, when you put knockouts in front of people's faces, they're gonna pay attention. And there's a reason why he was that guy. But the UFC, with all the conflict they had with him, they didn't focus on those things. You understand what I'm saying? And Francis actually would have been bigger than he was. But what happened was John Jones was giving him trouble, you know, talking about, I want more money to fight Francis Ngannou. And there's a reason why. He knew that there was a real threat, right? And then once Ngannou was out of the picture, here comes John Jones talking ish, right? Saying, oh, this guy, he's a bum. He's this, he's that. You know, it was like, we didn't see that John Jones before, right? Now, another thing is that Dana figured he couldn't get what he wanted out of Francis. So now he goes, okay, well, we don't need you anymore. We got John Jones. So they bring. So now he's got his arm around John Jones, like, yeah, man, you know, now get out of here. We got John Jones. And John Jones, of course, delivered with that, you know, that I don't even know what kind of fight that was against Cyril Gane, but you know, he comes in there and
he was moving the chains.
He just took over,
made some money, and everybody is happy.
Exactly. So he got it. You know, Dana White got what he wanted. He got John Jones back, and John Jones delivered. If John Jones would have got destroyed that night, I don't think Dana would have been happy about that. You know, Stan? So now he has the heavyweight champion of the world all over again, which is John Jones. And let's see what happens if John Jones doesn't get himself into any trouble.
Yes, that is his biggest opponent. John Jones, the guy in the mirror is John Jones' biggest opponent. Again, we're being joined by Francisco Guzman of Boxeo Mundial and MMA Mundial. Follow Francisco to get his contributor articles. And do you do a podcast, man? Because if you don't, we need more of you. You are well-spoken. Handsome dude.
Thank you.
Are you doing a podcast?
No, man. I've done quite a few podcasts with a few buddies here and there, but no, man.
You're better than just a few buddies, man. Maybe we'll do every big boxing match every week. I really do appreciate your time and, of course, your insight, man. Extremely valuable. You're extremely knowledgeable, and I do appreciate the time. We've talked about off the air the John Jones' next opponent. Stipe Miocic, I think you nailed it on the head. Stipe is going to give John Jones his biggest test at heavyweight. You know, he's got great hands. He's a better grappler than Cyril Gane. But it's hard to deny that maybe Stipe's best days are behind him. But as we know, the UFC, you know, arm over John, arm over Stipe, Dana White is. They're going to build up the crap out of Stipe like they've been buddies from day one. Like, we didn't know about all the friction that's been between Stipe and not promoting himself in the UFC's eyes. I mean, the dude's a freaking, he's an amazing person. Father, firefighter.
He's the most accomplished heavyweight. And in the game ever.
Stipe, greatest heavyweight. John Jones, greatest light heavyweight. Square off. Who's the best? And you're going to be like, oh my God, I got to buy it. What, I got to buy it. And that's what everybody's going to
say. That was good. They should use your voice for real.
You know that they're going to do that. Oh my. So, I mean, I feel like you've nailed it off the air, but just send it home now. What are your thoughts on John Jones versus Stipe Miocic? And does it happen this year?
One thing we do know, we do know Stipe. Okay, Stipe has had some losses, but he's come back, right? He came back from his loss against DC, right? DC knocked him out. He came back, and he was losing the second fight. It showed his ability to adjust, right? In that fourth round, I mean, if he would have not stopped DC, DC would have won again. But in that fourth round, he came back with those body shots, and he finished DC. You know what I mean? And I was like, I was impressed, you know, because I thought he was going to lose all over again. Like I said, he's underrated a bit, you know, compared to Cyril Gane. People I had picked Cyril Gane, you know, I had thought that Cyril Gane probably had enough to beat John Jones, being that John Jones was off for 3 years. But and when I look at that fight, in the beginning of the fight, John Jones did not look steady on his feet. He was striking, but the striking wasn't the same. You understand what I'm saying? He was missing. And then eventually he went to wrestling, right? I think that's why he went immediate to wrestling, because he figured something is off here. And he figured maybe, this guy's not a wrestler. Let me just go after what he doesn't have. And once he took him down, I don't even think John Jones knew how easy it was going to win. It was going to be, honestly. Once he got him down, he probably, when he finished him in his head, he probably said, damn, that was easy. You know, because it had to be running through his head that this guy, you know, there's some danger there. But once he got in there, we saw that Ciryl Gane had nothing, absolutely nothing. Stipe is a little bit more cerebral. He's fought a lot more fighters. He's come back from a loss. Yes, he got knocked out by Francis Ngannou. But, you know, this was an improved Francis Ngannou. This is Ngannou that was not being easy to wrestle and take down like he did in the first fight. And once he took that away from Stipe, you understand? It was bombs away. So fighting John Jones right now as a heavyweight, we haven't seen his power, if John Jones really has any power. He wasn't really a powerful dude at light heavyweight. His thing was the accumulation of strikes, right? And then he'll eventually finish you. But now fighting Stipe, Stipe has to think in the back of his mind, he only fought one round. You understand? He hasn't done rounds still. If Stipe is smart, Stipe will take John Jones into deep water. Because I don't care what anybody says. We don't know if John Jones could do five rounds yet. If Stipe could take him into deep waters and tire John Jones, make it a wrestling whatever, try to put some pressure on John Jones, make Jones fight a little bit, and not get, you know, if he doesn't get smashed, we could take him to the fifth round. It's interesting to see John Jones in the fourth and fifth round. See if he's going to have that same energy he has coming right in, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Stipe Miocic naturally walks around at 240 to 250. I know there was this whole talk of how John Jones, the three-year hiatus, how he's had to, like, eat ice cream and burgers, boo-hoo, and gain all this weight.
That had to slow him down. I mean, he looked fat in the fighter's pictures. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looked like Jones, you know, a fat version of John Jones. And like I said, that weight has to have slowed him down. I don't care who you are. And that's, I think if Stipe's people, his brain trust is smart, they figure out that Jones is not only heavy, but he's not as fast. And if you could, and Stipe could wrestle, you know what I'm saying? Like if Stipe could control John Jones for 3 rounds and tire him out, John Jones, a tired John Jones, especially a bigger John Jones, you know, a fatter John Jones. I'm just saying, you know, look, I'm not betting against them. You know, it's hard to bet against the winning horse, but I think that Stipe is going to show us where John Jones truly is. That's really it.
I agree. And the fight, we didn't get it. It would have been this time announced, but I believe it's Volkanovski versus Yair for July. Who wants to see two heavyweights fight in Vegas at 115 degrees? I mean, I think that would not be optically pleasing for anybody watching. Do it at MSG in November so Francisco and Ike, we could get in attendance. Man, that would be – they talk about – Dana White always throws out the gate records and attendance records and how much popcorn he sold. It's like, man, if John Jones and Stipe Miocic, November, MSG, that would be freaking epic.
That would be epic, for sure.
Like there's some type of background noise terms of.
But I got a question.
What's up?
Where were you for Adesanya Leon Edwards? That was MSG.
268, if I remember correctly.
Is it?
That was not vaccinated.
I didn't see you there, so that's what I'm asking.
That's why, man. I did not take the jab, and I was like, Okay. I parried the jab coming.
You parried the shot? Yes, gotcha.
I parried the shot.
Gotcha.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I would love to see that fight happen, John Jones and Ngannou. I think that might be the biggest UFC fight of all time. A fight that isn't going to crack 2 million pay-per-view buys. Hopefully it can crack 2.0 views because it will be on ESPN. Is this weekend's Vasily Lomachenko versus,
yes,
Devin Haney. In my opinion, again, not an expert, but with my eyes, Lomachenko has beautiful footwork and the ability to pivot and great output, and seems like he was kind of bored at the top. I learned from Francisco that he had a shoulder problem going in against Teofimo. You know, you hope he's recovered. He looked great in his last fight against the Japanese fellow. Devin Haney seems to be like...
Tanaki?
I agree.
I always get his name wrong.
Whatever you say, I'll just nod my head and agree. Devin Haney's got the jab.
It was Masashi Nakatani.
Oh, you're close.
Actually, he had fought also. He had fought Teofimo Lopez also. Went 12 rounds with him actually, and gave Teofimo some problems.
Okay,
I think that's why Loma came back against him after the loss to Teofimo, because he was campaigning to get the rematch against Teofimo, but Teofimo kept saying that he didn't want it. So he took on a former opponent of his and knocked him out. I think it was the 9th round actually.
Yep.
So
I do remember because Tim Bradley was interrupting everybody on the desk, and it was like, you know, this fight was taken. He's so competitive, and he's probably right. Loma is looking at that. He stopped him, and Teofimo didn't. I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I go, and I'm learning about the Tessitore, Kriegel, the whole boxing broadcast. At first, it was like,
right,
awkward for me, but it's like, I like it. Andre Ward's very calm. Tim Bradley loves to, you know, take control of it. Mark Kriegel is stoic. And Joe Tessitore is Ernie Johnson of boxing. It's a cool mix. I respect it. What are your thoughts on this now? A 35-year-old former champion, Lomachenko, against the undisputed king who's got the lion's share of belts, and Devin Haney. What are your thoughts about this?
Well,
and I'm going to put you on the solo layout, so don't get scared. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, solo.
Gotcha. Lomachenko has had a lot of fights. We're talking about 413. He's 413-3 in total fights from amateur to pro. He had only one loss in the amateurs, and I think it was 396 wins and one loss, which he avenged, which is a lot. As a pro, of course, you know, he was the fastest guy to win titles in 3 different weight classes. And because of that loss to Teofimo, and because he's looked vulnerable in his fight against Jermaine, Ortiz, what was his name again? Hold on 1 second. I want to make sure I got the right name. Yeah. Jermaine Ortiz, my bad. Yes, Jermaine Ortiz took him 12 rounds. He was a former sparring partner. Kid was undefeated. But, it was a very close fight. And a lot of people thought that maybe Teofimo might have lost that fight or came close to losing it. And because of that, because he didn't look like the Lomachenko we know, which is his nickname was Nomas Chenko, because he used to make guys quit, a lot of people would just think that maybe it's his time. You know, maybe he's getting old. I mean, he's only 36 years old. But they're already calling him old. I mean, with a guy with over 400 fights, that actually, can speed up the speedometer. You know what I'm saying? So the odometer, my bad. Not speedometer.
Me. I was like, yeah. But, I was like that.
I was like, he's had a lot of fights. But one thing I will say is he didn't need to take this fight. You know, I know that Devin Haney wanted him years ago. He says, oh, he should have fought me years ago. Now it's going to be worse. But Loma was chasing other things back then. You understand? And he went after Teofimo, who was actually that undefeated rising star. He lost the fight, but he wanted the rematch. He had two fights prior to that. Then he had that, you know, of course, we have the war in Ukraine, and he kind of went out for that. So that kind of stalled him back. He, I think, was like almost a year off before he fought Jermaine Ortiz. And that fight was tough. I mean, we saw Lomachenko tested. But, you know, I'm not writing him off. I mean, yes, Devin Haney is taller. He's bigger. He's got the reach. He's got the height. He's got the boxing ability. He's got youth. Those four things that, you know, that Lomachenko's against. But Lomachenko has experience. He also has skills, one of the best footwork in the game. And we've seen Devin Haney get hurt. And one thing Devin Haney isn't, he's not a puncher. Teofimo was a puncher. That if he hits you with a good shot, you're out of there. When you look at Devin Haney, he's not a puncher. He's a pure boxer. Okay. Now, Loma, if he feels that he can walk through some of Devin Haney's shots, I think it's going to be a tougher fight than even Devin Haney is going to expect. You know, Lomachenko is one of the slickest southpaws in the business. This is not Jojo Diaz, who actually took him to the ringer in the last four rounds, even though he still won. This is not Jojo Diaz. This is not a guy who's going to stand there and take shots to the liver. And Loma starts turning it up in the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds and on. So I'm interested to see how Devin handles him, but I'm also interested to see what Loma is, you know, what tricks are he's going to pull out, if any.
Is that, again, we're being joined by Francisco Guzman. Any relation to Luis?
Luis Guzman? No. My man Pachanga from Carlitos Way.
Yes,
he's actually
yes.
From the Lower East Side, you know. Yeah.
There you go. Benny Blanco from
the Bronx. John Leguizamo.
That's right. Not only comedy, but drama actor as well. But the most important Guzman right now, Francisco of Boxeo Mundial and MMA Mundial. I was going to ask about Haney's jab, but now you're talking about Loma getting... And you get me more excited. Guys, this Saturday, again, ESPN. I believe it's on ESPN Plus as well. Lomachenko versus Devin Haney for all the belts. Is this lightweight? Lightweight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
135.
I'm getting better, learning the difference. Not 155, it's 135.
No, it's 135.
But you talked about Loma maybe taking four or five rounds. Doesn't it? That's going to really help, considering that Devin Haney isn't a big boxer, as you're saying. Even if he tags him early, it's not going to do much. Having that lack of punching power and the fact that Loma may need a few rounds to get going, I think that's going to help Loma. I think I see this fight going the distance at the minimum.
I kind of see it going to the distance, too. I mean, unless Loma's... happens to hurt Devin Haney like Linares did. Jorge Linares was a common opponent between the two. Linares was stopped by Lomachenko, and he went 12 rounds with Devin Haney.
He's got a little crazy in him, though.
But
right?
But I will say this much: Devin Haney did win more rounds against Linares, even though Lomachenko stopped him. He was actually losing in the scorecards, you know, by a point or two on some of the judges' scorecards. Wow. So it was a real close fight until he stopped them. So styles make fights, right? You see that, right? You see a guy who finishes him, but he's losing or might have been losing or actually close. And then you see a guy who clearly boxes for 12 rounds. Yeah, you don't get the knockout, but he outboxed him, right?
Right.
But one thing Linares did, I can't remember the round, but he buzzed him right at the bell. He hits Devin with a three-punch combination. And then he did kind of like a matador thing and kind of guided him to his corner. And Devin was stumbling to the corner, you know, like he was hurt clearly. And he said it himself. He was. I would like to see if what happens if Loma is able to hurt him. And Loma has, you know, has stopped a lot of guys. You know what I'm saying? One thing about Loma, he's not a big puncher, but his accumulation of punches. And one thing he does very well is that he punches in different speeds. Right? He doesn't punch in the same speed. Some punches may be pity-pat, some boom, and he might throw a real solid one in there. It's kind of what he does. He's fast with his hands and he's fast with his feet. And they used, you know, that's why they were calling him the Matrix, right? Because this guy's footwork was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, when Conor was about to fight Floyd, I was like, man, he should just stare at Lomachenko's highlight reel or study tape of Lomachenko. I was like, the way that he pivots, it's just absolutely beautiful from the lefty stance. And like, I was like, oh, Conor did some weird game plan.
Well, his father, when he was a kid, I believe, took him out of boxing and put him into dance school.
River dance,
so he
could
learn. So he, yeah, I don't know if it was river dance, but it was some kind of dance in his in the Ukraine. And he learned, and through dancing, his footwork just got better. And this is why his footwork is very good, right? So, yeah, that's the story.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like Khabib wrestling bears at 7 years old.
Yes, while Khabib is getting a little scabs from bears, Lomachenko's getting bunions from tap dance shoes. And it worked. Obviously, it worked.
Wonder what his feet look like, right?
Oh my goodness! But Francisco. Again, I really appreciate the time, and it's always great conversating with you. I said definitely, that we'd be done definitely. In 30. We could probably go 2 hours just talking everything in combat.
Well, I'm gonna say one more thing before we go. I didn't touch on Devin at all. I just pretty much spoke predominantly on Lomachenko, but Devin Haney does fundamentally he's very very sound, and his like you said his left jab is impeccable. Though he does make mistakes, though, you know, and I mean, every fighter makes mistakes. I mean, it makes them better, right? And the point is, because he makes mistakes, I feel that Loma has a chance. I've seen him make mistakes in other fights, and is the reason why he got buzzed against Linares. He got clipped against Jojo Diaz. So, can Loma, you know, have they been studying Devin to expose that's the biggest question. Devin, even though he's not, then the reason why a lot of boxers are not knockout guys like punchers usually lose to boxers, because punchers, you know, they stand their ground and they throw punches, you know, in close quarters, where boxers are constantly hitting and getting out the way. And when you're a puncher, they're used to knocking guys out that stand in front of you, and you get a guy who hits you and move, that's a difficult game plan. But in this fight, we're not dealing with that. We're not dealing with a guy who's a puncher and the other guy's a boxer. They're both boxers. That's what makes this fight interesting. You know what I'm saying? One is just happened to be younger and bigger, like I said, and the other happens to be older and experienced. So let's see what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, man, I am pumped for this fight. It's one of the best fights of the year. We've just the fights boxing. It really is booming right now. I think it might be even bigger than MMA right now. I would love to. Do you know the numbers on Tank versus Garcia? How they did? Francisco, I think you're muted. There we go.
Oh, do you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Perfect.
It was an alarm going off, and I was trying to, like, I don't know if you was hearing it.
It's a hell of an alarm clock.
Yeah, it was a car alarm that just went off. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
You know the number. I was just saying that boxing is just—it is booming right now, man. All the biggest fights are happening. Joshua will get in the mix, no doubt about it. Wilder's gonna have a big fight. Tyson Fury's just waiting in the wings. Usyk will be there, but I think all the big fights are coming together in boxing. While on MMA, are we going to get Conor Diaz 3? Probably not in the UFC banner. Are we going to get Francis John Jones? Hopefully. It's a pipe dream at this point, but it's like in boxing, the big fights are closer to happening than not. My question was, Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, do we have numbers on that? Do we get any pay-per-view numbers?
I don't know the numbers. I wasn't even paying attention, honestly. I know they made some pretty good money, 2-point-something million buys or something. I mean, I don't even know the numbers. They did some pretty good numbers, actually. I'm sorry I don't have the stats on that, but I didn't think much of the fight beforehand because there was catch weight situations going on there.
I didn't like that. The dehydration.
I didn't like all the hoopla around it. And I really, you know, the fight turned out exactly what I thought would happen, you know?
I hope you made some money on it.
No, I wasn't betting. I wasn't trying to bet. But I will say this much. If whatever threat Garcia had coming into the fight, which was his left hook and his left jab and his speed, was pretty much taken away when that catch weight was implemented. If you look at history as far as catch weights are concerned, when a bigger guy is coming down to fight the smaller guy, 9 times out of 10, I don't even know if what's the ratio. I'm pretty sure I don't know of any catch weight fight where the fighter that had to lose a lot more wins. Most of the time, whenever there's a catchweight fight, the fighter that has to give up the most ends up losing. And that's pretty much what happened. I mean, not to say that Tank wouldn't have beaten him, but whatever chance he had went out the window.
Well, that's crappy to hear. I mean, how much bigger was Garcia going to get? Maybe 5-7 pounds? Like, I know I learned this with Terrence Crawford, like he doesn't gain that much. I think Canelo's one of the few boxers who's kind of like MMA guys. When I saw his day of weigh-ins against Triple G, I think it was the first fight, he bounced up maybe 18, 20 pounds like an MMA fighter. I don't think Garcia was going to bounce up 20 pounds. Like, why shave those 5-7 pounds? And we lost. I mean, the casuals, they're like, oh, my God, we got to finish. But you're saying, like, man, that wasn't the best representation of what Ryan Garcia could do in the square circle.
You know, I gotta blame Ryan Garcia and his brain trust.
I agree.
He didn't need the fight. People knew who Ryan was. You understand? He's a social media darling. And he didn't need to – he didn't need to put himself in that position. He could have contested it, the fight to be at 140. And if they didn't comply, then put it out there. These guys don't want to fight me at 140. They want me to drain myself. But what he did, he consided to everything that Tank asked for, and he got beat. And now what is he left for with, you know, just saying that, you know, he was weight drained? You knew that coming into the fight. So
I agree, man. I agree. It's crappy. I hope they can do the rematch. Without a weight clause, maybe Garcia's profile can grow even bigger, where it's better for him than negotiations. On a side note, can Leonard Ellerbe throw hands? I mean, he's talking like he could throw hands. I know he could throw bills around, but he's out there looking like Suge Knight. Can he throw down?
I've been saying that for a long time.
That's why we like each other.
He's been getting in fighters' faces. He's been talking major crap. I think because he's Mayweather promotion, so he thinks he could talk this ish. I'm gonna tell you something. Getting in Oscar De La Hoya's face, he's lucky Oscar is not built that way, because Oscar would light him up. And even at this age, Oscar would. I mean, you're talking about a former world champ,
gold medalist.
You know, like this guy was a gold medalist. I mean, come on, you, and he's a fighter. You know, he got hands. He will light your old ass up. You know what I'm saying?
Could you see the wires like going off and Oscar, like they were like sparking, like the fighter?
If he was to cross that line, I think Oscar would make Taco Tuesdays out of him. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I think Oscar would hit him like a piñata, you know, like it'll be it'll be Mexico Cinco de Mayo all over again.
The day of the dead. Oh, man, I agree with that, man. It's like, I swear there's got to be some weird, like, even Dana White or the guys under him, Hunter Campbell, Gray Maynard, or Mick Maynard, Sean Shelby, where they kind of like, they talk down to Francis, they talk down to a John Jones, they talk down to like a Usman, a Jiří Procházka, just because they quote unquote own their rights or their fighting career. I mean, once the PFL or Bellator or ONE can really raise their profile and be like a close to equal negotiation for the fighters, I don't think these fighters are going to be taking it on the chin verbally from these guys. It's like, I got a sense of that with Leonard
Ellerbe. Dana has gotten away with some major, major trash talk. Remember that boxing match that was supposed to happen between Dana and Tito Ortiz?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and he was, it just shows what confidence can do. Like, bro, you're confident in the business world.
You know, I understand why Tito didn't do it. Because how does Tito look like kicking his boss's ass? I
mean, he'd be happy, but you're right.
Money wise, you know, he'd probably be out of the organization. There's no way Dana was going to win that.
No. But we all won this conversation. I really appreciate the time, Francisco Guzman. Yeah, what are you working on? What do you got coming out? You got something for this fight week or a coming fight week that we could tune into or read?
Right now, I'm just waiting for this Loma fight. Interested to see, you know, how this fight is going to turn out. But definitely would like to get back together and you know, talk about the outcome, see what this outcome is going to be like.
All right.
Because I know people
prediction?
Are picking.
What's your prediction?
You know, I know Loma is the underdog, but I'm interested to see how this fight turns out.
And how do you think? Can we get you on the record for a prediction? If you nail it on the head, it gets on social media.
It's tough. It's tough because I like Loma. I like Devin Haney also. You know, it's tough. It's tough to make a prediction like when a fight is really – because you don't know – you can't bet against, you know – somebody with experience like Loma, because those guys, they have that experience can pull out a win, right? And we've seen it happen in the past. So, and is Devin Haney being too overconfident? You know, that could happen too, you know? So I'm just like, I think it's 50-50. I think a little bit of the edge is to Devin Haney because he's got the height, the reach, he's got the youth. He's got so many things on his side, you know? And Loma has, of course, experience. He's got age. He's got, you know, he's got great footwork. He's also a great boxer himself. But the height, you know, I expect a lot of clinching, though. Remember when I tell you that? A lot of clinching.
Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. I do appreciate the fanfare of combat sports. Leonard Ellerbe screaming at Oscar. Tyson Fury screaming at a press conference. You Dosser, I still don't know what the hell that means. Colby Covington with his craziness. But this fight, Lomachenko versus Haney, is a fighter's fight. It's not going to have all the fanfare. Nobody's going to pick up a chair. Like, these are two guys who just really care about their craft. Like, they are swordsmen. They are out there to see who's a better guy. It's not going to be Colby Covington, like, being, like, a verbal assassin, but then going in there and just wrestling and clinching you for five rounds. Like, dude, what the hell? You were just talking off like you were Chuck Liddell. No. This is going to be a fighter's fight. Purists of the sport will all tune in. You hope one day the casuals can. But, man, I'm very excited for this fight. And boxing as a whole has just won me over. Post-Floyd era, it's like, I think he was an anchor, but we'll get into that, maybe the retrospect of boxing. You could take me to school, Professor Guzman, and teach me a lot more. I do appreciate your time,
You got me built up here.
No, I don't have to build you up, man. You do enough push-ups for both of
us. I mean, not built up, but you kind of got me like... You know, like,
we'll see.
Me speechless, put it that way.
I hope you're wrong about the clinching, but I wouldn't be surprised if you nailed the nail on the head with this one. You have a great passion and love for the sport, and I appreciate that you're covering mixed martial arts as well. We need more people like you, who are respectful, who have not only talked the talk, but you walk the walk. I think that's what's missing on the MMA. MMA comes across as the little brother in combat sports, the boxing, too often. Whenever I go to boxing matches, I wear like brown shoes, slacks, a button-up shirt. Like, I look clean. Now I'm starting to like dress like the fighters, like at the MMA event. My first MMA event, like this recent, I'm wearing freaking Jordans. I'm like, and then I go to a boxing match this past weekend, I'm wearing a polo, slacks, nice shoes. It's like, I feel like MMA will get there, but I don't know. It might get even worse, man. With the WWE deal, now we might be wearing leopard print suits to UFC events. Things might be getting even crazier in terms of fanfare with the UFC event.
I gotta say, the way you feel about MMA, I feel about boxing. It's kind of crazy. I feel that MMA, yes, is the little brother to boxing, but slowly the little brother's growing. You know, the little brother's putting on events.
Yeah, but the little brother's doing coke and smoking weed and taking mushrooms and like I said, throwing chairs.
Yeah, but the big brother is not fighting. You know, we're not getting the fights we want. We the press conferences are boring. The weight, you know, when you go to weigh-ins, it's boring. You know, it's I'm telling you, it's night and day. I see what. And you know what's funny is that boxing is starting to do some of the stuff that MMA is doing, you know, bringing in DJs, you know what I'm saying? Starting to add a little flavor to their fights, you know. It's all from MMA, you know, you understand what I'm saying? If you look at the press conference, just watch boxing press conference and MMA and UFC or any other press conferences. It's totally a different animal.
Wow.
I hate boxing press conferences. I'm going to tell you, you have to wake me up because I will fall asleep.
I was just going to say, it was like a college seminar. Like they were like, and the next question, I'm from ABC Sports. My name is John Smith. And I was like, oh my God, Leonard Ellerbee's more entertaining. Get him up there. But
dude, it's like, and they don't change. It's like, they don't change. It's like, what happened? You know, technology has changed through time and boxing is still the same. It's like, come on, man. You know, it's the reason why the UFC is stealing the show over and over again. Not only do they market better, but they put together better events, even if it's a press conference or a weigh-in. You know, you don't see those kind of weigh-ins in boxing. You know, only for big fights. You know, so yeah.
Got you. Learning every day, learning every week, and I will learn more about the wonderful Sweet Science this Saturday. Again, Lomachenko. Versus Devin Haney. It's going to be freaking awesome. Tune into that. I will be texting you during the fight, after the fight. Maybe we do a recap next week. I really do appreciate your time, Francisco. And sure. Yeah, man, keep doing what you're doing, and we will connect very soon, my man.
Thank you. Have a good one, brother.
Guys, you heard it. Francisco Guzman, you see below, of Boxeo Mundial and MMA Mundial. Like I said, elegant speaker, knowledgeable. This man, encyclopedia. There's the fast food of combat sports media. You know, somebody who's just you hear what they say. It sounds amazing for 10 seconds, but if you listen to them for an hour, it's gonna give you diarrhea. And then you get people like Francisco Guzman, who is the steak, the potatoes, the spinach. It's a hearty meal. Yeah, sure. There's not that much sugar, but it's gonna keep you alive longer. It's more of the marathon, not a sprint. I really do appreciate Francisco's time, and I really do appreciate that we get a fighter's fight this Saturday. Oh my goodness, I'm so pumped for this. I'm gonna have to go. I'm not gonna tap dance like Lomachenko around this answer, but I'm gonna have to go with Devin Haney taking a. Twelve-round decision, and it's going to be close. Does Lomachenko drop Devin Haney? No. I think Devin Haney's too long. Does Lomachenko tag him and stagger Haney to make him step back and respect Lomachenko? Yes. I think there is enough fire there for that. And Lomachenko, he's going to be better than the Lomachenko we saw against Teofimo. I am extremely pumped for this one. A fighter's fight. I don't even know if the UFC's on. PFL Bellator's on this weekend. I am tuned in, locked in to this weekend's boxing match. Guys, I hope you are as well. Your boy Ike Feldman is out. Thank you guys for tuning in. Peace.